Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, we have people come forward for prayer. We have prayer lines. And I have heard this 1,000 times if I've heard it once. Somebody says something like, "Why aren't I healed? I fast, I pay my tithes, I go to church, I pray, I'm living holy, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do, and why hadn't God healed me?" You just told me why God hadn't healed you, because see, you didn't point to what He did for you, you pointed to what you have been doing for Him. And that reveals where your faith is. Your faith was in you, and you're doing as much as you can, and so why hasn't God healed you yet? Because you're wanting what you deserve, and it's the mercy and grace of God that you haven't heard from God. If you got what you deserved, every one of us would be burnt to a crisp. Every one of us would be sick. Every one of us would never get a prayer answered if we got what we deserved. See, the only attitude that'll get you anything is to say, "God, I don't deserve anything." But you know what? Through Jesus, through the veil, I believe that the veil has now been removed. And the sacrifice, my faith is in the Lamb. It's in the sacrifice. It's not in myself. And so I have boldness to enter into the presence of God. Not only when everything is good, but in the time of need. I have boldness to receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Brothers and sisters, most Christians have never understood just the introductory things that I've been saying here tonight. They are out there at the brazen altar, and they're just living, camping around it. And every time they sin, they got to offer another sacrifice. They hadn't even gotten into the holy place to where they can commune with God. And they certainly hadn't been into the Holy of Holies with the veil broken so that they can enter right into the very throne of grace. With most of us, we're living as Old Testament saints. With most of us, we aren't understanding that, man, the way to God is now made clear. And that even though I don't deserve it, God loves me. He loves me just as if I had never sinned. That's what the word justified, my little layman's definition of justified, means. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Through Jesus, it's like you've never sinned. And some of you are saying, "How could that be?" See, we haven't been taught this, and we have a sin consciousness. Look over in 1 John chapter 3. And let me end with this. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Now, before I go any further, this is a radical statement. Radical statement. He says, this is how we know we are of the truth and can assure our hearts. You know what the word assure is talking about? Give confidence and boldness. Here's a thought that most Christians have never understood. They thought that if I was really in right standing with God, if God was really pleased with me, I would just know it. I would feel His pleasure. I would feel confidence. I would feel boldness. And because we are feeling condemned, most of us take that as an indication that, you know what, God is the one that is making me feel this way. This says that you have to assure your heart. Your heart doesn't naturally just embrace this. You know, I could spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to say this very quickly. I pray that God will give you understanding. I could spend an hour explaining this, but your conscience condemns you. That is a product of the fall. And your conscience, even though you're born again, doesn't work for you. It still works against you until you renew it. And this is what Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15 says, or verse 14. It says that the blood of Christ will purge our conscience. so that we can serve from dead works, so that we can serve a living God. You have to purge your conscience, or as this says, you have to assure your heart. It isn't normal. It's not natural. Once you've sinned, your conscience is just basically condemning you constantly. And I'm going to talk about this more later this week. But you have to assure your heart. You have to purge yourself. As it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us enter in boldly and our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You have to purge your conscience. It doesn't happen automatically. So this is what this is talking about. We have to assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, talking about your conscience, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. What this is saying is that if you feel condemned, once you've been born again, the truth is that the veil is rent in two. God is now got His arms open to you. The cherubims aren't there. God's not going to punish you. He's not going to kill you. He's not mad at you. He's not going to not answer your prayer if you haven't done everything right. Sin has been taken care of. It's a non-issue with God. But if your conscience doesn't know that, if you're still condemning yourself, then you won't have boldness to enter in and take advantage of what has been made for us. And so most of us, the way is open, but we aren't receiving the benefit because our own conscience is condemning us. And it says that if our heart does condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. In other words, if you are condemned, it's not because God's condemning you. God knows that the sacrifice has been made. The veil has been removed. You now have direct access to the very throne of God. God is not mad at you, even though you feel that God is mad or displeased. It's not God. And brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. What a lot of people is calling the gospel is not the gospel. But this is the gospel saying that Jesus paid it all. And that you are made holy through what He does, not by your own effort. That's the nearly too good to be true news. There's people standing up in pulpits by the thousands saying, you're going to hell, and saying, I'm preaching the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Literally, it means nearly too good to be true news. It's over the top good news. There's nothing nearly too good to be true about telling somebody they're going to hell. We have people going up on the streets and passing out tracts saying, repent or else, turn or burn. God's angry at you, repent. And they say, man, I'm preaching the gospel. None of that's the gospel. It's true that if a person isn't born again, that sin separates them from God, and that sin has the atonement for sin, which was Jesus' death, has to be received. And if you don't receive it, you go to hell. Those are all true, but none of that's gospel. None of it's good news. And it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. It's the gospel that reveals the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith unto faith, Romans 1:17. It's the gospel that's going to set people free. Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. We're up there preaching repent or else turn or burn, trying to scare them out of hell. It's the gospel telling people about how much God loves them, that He died for their sins, not just some of their sins until the next time they blow it, but He died for all of their sins. He wipes sin out. Sin is a non-issue between God and man. If people could understand that, they know in their own heart that they don't deserve it. They would be so impressed with a God who came down and took all of their sins and bore their judgment that they would serve Him more accidentally than they've ever served Him on purpose before, motivated by fear. Fear has torment, but love will cause a person to lay down their life and to do everything. We aren't preaching the true gospel, not the same gospel that the Bible preached. And that's the reason that we aren't getting the gospel results. But this is the beginning of the gospel. I'm going to be sharing things with you this weekend that if you can come back and get this, I guarantee you, like I said, it's either going to radically change you or you will have to reject what I'm saying. But you can't hear this and be indifferent. Tonight, you've got a decision. Are you going to accept what the Bible says, that we now have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And if you acknowledge this with your mind to be true, you're still going to have to assure your hearts with this, because you've been told wrong for so long. It's going to take a renewing of the mind, and you're going to have to grab hold of this truth and start assuring your heart. You're going to have to purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God. I guarantee you, just hearing this one time isn't going to set you free. You're going to have to walk in it. And you'll find yourself slipping back under condemnation because it's been done so much and everybody preaches it. And you'll find yourself slipping back into it. And when you do, you have to go back and say, no, here's what the Word says. And you have to purge your conscience and take what Jesus has done. And it's a process. You aren't going to just instantly be transformed. You might see this truth, but it's going to have to be meditated on until it becomes a reality. So I encourage you, if you can, please come back. At the very least, you know, we're doing DVDs and CDs of all of these services. And you'll be able to get tonight's message within 5 or 10 minutes of the conclusion of my preaching out there. And I encourage you to get these and get sets for other people, because this is the kind of thing that you're going to have to hear over and over and over and over to be able to replace all of the wrong teaching that we've had. But again, I've taken all of these things. I've used a lot of scripture tonight. I just don't honestly understand how people can sit there and counter it. I'm aware of some scripture that may look contrary to this, and as I go through this, I'm going to be dealing with some of those. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and I'll be dealing with other scriptures on it, but I just can't say everything I know all in one night. Amen. So at least give me the mercy and the grace to come back and hear me out, or get the tapes, the CDs, and listen to it, because I tell you, this will set you free. Amen. Praise God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-152 titled Enter Boldly when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.